May we look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, the prayer of our heart this evening is that we may enter into thy thought, thy feeling, O Lord, thou knowest it is humanly impossible. Thou knowest how we are bound by ourselves. Thou knowest how we are limited by our thoughts and our own feelings. But Lord, we ask thee at this moment to cleanse us with the precious blood and to deliver us from ourselves. Oh, that we may join with thee in thy thought and into thy feeling. Lord, how we praise and thank thee, thou who art the glorious one, the holy one, the spotless one. And yet thou didst come into this world to be a man, to enter into our thoughts and into our feelings. Oh, how sympathetic thou art with us. Now, Lord, because of thy salvation, because of the greatness of thy redemption, we ask thee this evening that thou wilt bring us into thy thought. Oh, that we may feel as thou feelest. O Lord, make us see what thou dost see. Make us feel as thou dost feel. O Lord, we look to thee because we are helpless. We cannot do it. But Lord, we believe the power of thy resurrection life can raise us up to that level. O Lord, make us see what thou dost see. Oh, and make us so sympathetic with thyself that we can stand with thee against ourselves. O Lord, oh, we want thee, Lord. We want thee in us. We want thee in thy people. We want thee in thy church. Oh, nothing but thyself, Lord. Lord, judge us if we need to be judged. Reprove us if we need to be reproved. Chasten us if we need to be chastened. Bring us to naught if we need to be brought to that point. Oh Lord, reduce us to ashes, because this is the only safe place for us. Oh, that we may see the glory of thy resurrection life manifested in thy church. Oh Lord, we want to see thy glory. Deliver us from disappointments. Deliver us from despair. Deliver us from destitution, desolation, death. Oh Lord, bring us to resurrection life, to the glory of thy life, to the glory of thyself. Oh Lord, this is thy will for us. This is thy will for thy church. And Lord, thy grace can bring us there. Oh, how we trust thee, O Lord. Our confidence is in thee. Thou wilt not let us down. Thou wilt not fail us. We may feel it sometimes that way, Lord. But we know thee. We know thee, Lord. Oh, Lord, get what thou wantest among thy people. Do thy work until thou art satisfied. Do not stop, Lord. Do not stop. Go on, Lord, with us. Go on. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us. Where can we go, Lord? Thou hast the word of life. We are stuck, Lord. We praise thee, we thank thee. Oh, Lord, we praise thee. Oh, thou dost desire to deliver us from ourselves, that we may come over to thy side and see things with thy sight. Oh, Lord, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open the eyes of our hearts that we may know thee. And to know thee is life eternal. Oh, we worship thee together, Lord. Oh, how good thou art. How gracious, gracious thou art. How long-suffering thou art. Lord, if it's not because of thy patience and long-suffering, where will we be? Oh, Lord. We marvel at thy grace. Lord, thou dost take up the worst, the meanest, the vilest, such as we are. And Lord, thou dost make us a new vessel, fit for the Master's use, that no man can boast, but all glory be unto thee. Oh, all glory be unto thee. Oh, how we praise and we thank thee. We know thou art working. We know thou wilt get what I want. Oh, Lord, take away our resistance. Take away our pride. Oh, Lord, make us soft. Make us tender. Make us flexible. Lord, do whatever thou wantest with us. We wait before thee. We trust thee, Lord. Oh, Lord, we remember thy word, the just shall live by his faith. Lord, our hope is in thee. Our confidence is in thee. Thou art the rock of our salvation. Oh, we glorify thee, Lord. It is all thee, Lord. It is all thee. Amen. May we read from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, These things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thine endurance, and that thou canst not bear evil, and thou hast tried them who say that themselves are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and endureth, and hast borne for my name's sake, and hast not wearied. But I have against thee, that thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. But if not, I am coming to thee, and I will remove thy lampstand out of its place, except thou shalt repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. We cannot read the whole chapter 2 and chapter 3, so we will just read the beginning of each letter. Verse 8, And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things says the first and the last, who became dead, and lived. Verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things says he that has the sharp two-edged sword. Verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things says the Son of God, he that has his eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Chapter 3, verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things says he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things says the holy, the true, he that has the key of David, He who opens and no one shall shut, and shuts and no one shall open. Verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Dear brothers and sisters, we believe God is today intensely interested, and if you allow me to put it in a stronger way, exclusively interested in only one thing, and one thing alone, and that is the testimony of Jesus Christ. What is the testimony of Jesus Christ? It is the public declaration, the affirmation of a truth, a fact, a reality. That truth, that fact, that reality is the Lord Jesus. The Father bears witness to him. He himself testified before Pontius Pilate, and the Holy Spirit is here on earth to glorify him. And we are called to be his witnesses. It is who Jesus is. It is what he is. That is the thing. That is the testimony. Brothers and sisters, we need to know him. who he is, as the Father knows him. We need to know him as he himself declares. We need to know him as the Holy Spirit witnesses. We need to know who he is, what he is. For this reason, we need a revelation of Jesus Christ. Because he is one who cannot be known except by the revelation of the Father. We may know about him. But we can never know him. We need a revelation of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ is revealed to us, brothers and sisters, we have the testimony of Jesus Christ. As our brother Watchman Nee once said, he said, you may say everything about the Lord Jesus, but when you are saying these things, and if the Lord Jesus does not speak with you, it is dead. There is no testimony. Just words. Correct? But words. But dear brothers and sisters, when you are testifying of the Lord Jesus, and as you are speaking for him, he speaks with you. He backs you up. This is testimony. Without revelation, there is no testimony. But the revelation of Jesus Christ, that God so graciously given to his church, is the testimony of Jesus Christ today. We mentioned last night that the testimony of Jesus is today deposited in a vessel. As the testimony of God was deposited in the nation of Israel, so today, the testimony of Jesus is deposited in the church, the body of Christ. How dare God commit such a tremendous thing, the testimony of Jesus to man. It is all right for God to keep the testimony. It is all right for the Lord Jesus to bear the testimony. But if God should commit this testimony to man, you know what would happen. When God committed his testimony to the nation of Israel, his name went down with them. Oftentimes, God had to vindicate himself and said, I have no part in it. When God commits the testimony of Jesus to the church, brothers and sisters, it makes me tremble. How much the testimony of Jesus suffers through the vessel. And it is for this reason that you find when John was on the island of Patmos, when he was thinking of the seven churches in Asia, among whom he labored before he was exiled. He loved the churches there. He could not be in person with them. He was exiled on the island of Patmos, but nobody could forbid him from looking longingly across the sea towards the seven cities in Asia and thought of them. As he was thinking of the seven churches in Asia, he heard a voice behind him. What thou hast seen, write to the seven churches in Asia. To Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. He turned back. And he saw a vision. Seven golden lampstands represent the seven churches in Asia, with the Son of Man in the midst of them. Brothers and sisters, we need to be turned away from what we are seeing. What we know, we need to turn away from that and to see what is the vessel of the testimony as God ordains it to be. We need a vision of the Lord. We need a vision of the church. We need a vision of the church as God ordains it to be. And you'll find there is a suitability. Why? Because these are seven golden lampstands that were to uplift the light, to bear the testimony of Jesus in the various cities in Asia. That was the calling. The Lord said, I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I, the Lord, he said, I will build. I will build my church upon this rock. It can be nothing but a golden candlestick made of pure gold. What the Lord is building must be perfect. You can never even imagine, and I think even imagining is blasphemy, to think that the Lord will build a church that is full of rubbish. It cannot be. The Lord said, I will build my church upon this rock. And because he is building it with pure gold and into a golden lampstand, so exquisite, so beautiful, with cups, knots, flowers, lamps, brothers and sisters, the gates of Hades cannot prevail against it. Because it is perfect. Do we see the church that way? But if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said, I am like a foreman. I have laid the foundation. And the foundation can be none other but Jesus Christ. Thank God for the foundation. The superstructure may shake, but the foundation stands. Paul said, I am like a master builder. I have laid a foundation, and the foundation can be none other but Jesus Christ. But Paul said, be careful. What are you building upon it? Brothers and sisters, do you see the two sides? On the one side you'll find our Lord Jesus declares, I will build my church. He is building it. Oh, thank God he is building it. You know, oftentimes when I'm down and down and cannot be downer, the one thing that lifts me up is, I remember the Lord said, I will build my church upon this rock. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And you know, I'm lifted to the third heaven. But the sad part is, we are all helping him to build. In a sense, we are all building. We are all building the house of God. But you read 1 Corinthians 13 and you find that some build with gold, silver, and precious stones. But some build with wood, grass, and straw. If it is the Lord who builds, gold, silver, precious stones, nothing else, pure. But when man starts to help to build, you find sometimes some people maybe building with gold, silver, and precious stone. Gold, the nature of God. Silver, the redemption of Jesus Christ. Precious stones, the work of the Holy Spirit. Some are building it upon that foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones. But many more are building with wood. The nature of man. Grass. The beauty. The glory of man. Straw. The work of man. What a mess. These two houses do not fit. And yet they are one house. One day, the fire shall appear. And the fire will burn up all that is built on the foundation with wood, grass, and straw. Even you are saved, but barely saved. But that which can stand the fire will continue. In other words, this is the wonder of grace. This is the wonder of new creation. In the old creation, God did it all by himself. When God created the heavens and the earth, he did it all by himself. He did not consult with you, ask your advice and your help. You were not there. He said it, and it was done. So simple, so direct, so perfect. That was the way God built the old creation. But somehow God changes his mind. When he comes to build a new creation, God said, no, I changed my method. I am determined not to do it alone. I am determined to do it with those whom I have redeemed. And because of that, he got into great trouble. But that's the way he wanted. To him, it's trouble. But to us, it is the highest honor. Can you think of anything more honorable than to cooperate, co-work with God? If our work is one with God, that's God's work. If our work is at odds with God, one day it will be burned. And dear brothers and sisters, it is much better if it is burned earlier. So first of all, dear brothers and sisters, I do believe God does not want us to look at the present conditions of the church as we can very easily see. Brothers and sisters, if you look, it brings you to despair. But remember, you are no better. You are in it. I believe God wants us to look away from these things. Be blind for a while. Let our eyes be open to see only what God has ordained the church to be, that perfect vessel for the testimony of Jesus. To see that it is the Lord who is building the church. Oh, brothers and sisters, we really need to see that. I pray that the Lord will show us that. Otherwise, I tell you, the more you want the Lord, the more miserable you become. But if we see the golden lampstand standing there with the Son of Man in the midst, oh, brothers and sisters, it's glorious. It's glorious. After we have seen that, then the Lord said, write to the seven churches in Asia. Write. Was the Lord blind to the situations in these seven churches? He knew very well, as you will see. He knew everything in these seven churches. Everything. And yet, there before him stood the seven golden lampstands. That's the Lord. Our present situation cannot, will not change God's original design. It still stands. No matter how far apart these two may be, the seven golden lampstands and the seven churches in Asia, they ought to be one. But no matter how far apart these two things are, and the Lord saw both. And the Lord was bringing the one to the other, to his original design. The original design does not change. It is still there. As a matter of fact, it is already there. But anyway, here you find, after God has shown John a vision of the seven golden lampstands with one like the Son of Man in the midst, then John was in a position to turn back again and look at the seven churches in Asia with the look of Christ. You know, brothers and sisters, it doesn't take any sharp eyes to see all the mess in the churches today. Because they are so apparent. So apparent. But suppose you look at the situation of God's people today, at the situation of the churches today, and all that you have seen, what will happen to you? It will either drive you to despair, or it will make you very critical. That's all. But brothers and sisters, after you have seen the Lord, after you have seen the original design of the Lord, and then you turn back and look at the seven churches, look at the situation, again, you know what happened? You see even clearer. Because the eyes of the Lord is like a flame of fire. Everything is naked before Him. You think you have seen enough. You haven't. If you are seeing things with the eyes of the Lord, you will see even more. But thank God, what you have seen will not push you to despair, nor make you critical. But what you have seen will make you even more sympathetic with the Lord, filled with compassions and longings that it may be restored to what God wants it to be. It's different. It's different. The seven churches in Asia. The testimony of Jesus Christ is deposited in the church. And because we are still in the flesh, we are restricted by time and space. Therefore, you'll find the Church of God today, in the practical sense, is to be worked out in the local assemblies. That's the reason why you'll find the seven churches there. All these seven churches in Asia are a lampstand by itself. In other words, each local assembly is a unit of testimony before God. Each golden lampstand is the light lifter in that locality. Every lo- local assembly is directly responsible to God for the testimony of Jesus. They are not joined physically, governmentally. They are only joined by the Lord Himself. That is, spiritually. In fellowship, they are one. But in responsibility, each is responsible directly before God. Also, these seven churches are all different. They're all different. Each has its peculiar features. Each has its characteristics. Because God is not out for uniformity. God is out for unity, but unity with variety. When men try to unite, there is only one way: to make everything the same. That is the only way to unite. But God has a better way. God has a unity, and yet it is unity with variety. And when we first came to this country, we learned English. And it says, variety is the spice of life. It is in variety that you get fullness. It is all the same as monotonous. It has only that much and no more. But if it is variety, then when you add up the variety, you will find fullness. And that is God. You know, these seven churches are all different. The Lord does not require the church in Ephesus to be like the church in Smyrna. The Lord does not require the church in Smyrna to be like the church in Pergamos. The Lord wants Ephesus to be Ephesus, Smyrna to be Smyrna. But to be what He originally has given to them. Thank God, to each church, you'll find when the Lord writes to each church, He begins with a self-announcement. In every letter, he announces Himself first. And as you read the seven letters, you find in each self-announcement, everyone is different. We have a general vision of one like the Son of Man together, and then a specific announcement to each of the seven churches. And whatever He has revealed to anyone, church, is to be shared with the other churches. But dear brothers and sisters, the burden of my heart tonight is this. We saw the seven golden lampstands standing before God, with the Son of Man in the midst. Oh, what a glorious vision that is. Then you turn back and you read the seven letters to the seven churches. What can you say? What is the burden of the Lord with regard to the seven churches? as the Lord looked into the situation of the seven churches, dear brothers and sisters, what is He looking for? He is searching for one thing. To each church, He mentions different things. He sees what is good. Nothing escapes His eyes. Everything that is good and commendable, He sees all. He sees the bad things, and they are very evident before Him. But dear brothers and sisters, what is He that He is looking for? May I put it this way? He is searching for Himself in the churches. He has revealed Himself to the churches. He has given Himself to the churches. And now He comes back to search whether that which He has revealed and has deposited are there, or whether it is missing. There is only one measurement for the church. Brothers and sisters, we mention a golden lampstand is only for one purpose, to uplift the light. The church is only for one purpose, and that is for the testimony of Jesus. And because of that, when the Lord looks at the church, He is just looking for one thing. How about the testimony of Jesus? That's the only thing that matters. Thank God, if you read Revelation chapter 21, you find there is a man. In his hand is a golden reed. And he uses that golden reed as a measurement to measure the holy city, the New Jerusalem. And you know what? Everywhere he measures, it measures up. It measures up. What is the criteria? What is the standard? What is the measurement of the church? How do you measure a church? You don't measure with different measurements. It is an abominable thing in the sight of God if you use different measurements. God has only one measure, and that is the testimony. What God has revealed of Jesus Christ is that which He uses to measure. Individually, this is true. Corporately, this is true. Our Lord Jesus walks among the seven lampstands, and He is looking for Him. In these churches. How much these churches have received and how much they have measured up to the revelation. Anything short of the revelation is under judgment. It's rejected. It cannot be accepted. It requires repentance. Dear brothers and sisters, not only the world needs repentance, the church needs repentance. To repent only on one account, that we do not measure up to the testimony. write to the angel of the church in Ephesus. These things says he that has the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. He declares himself to the church in Ephesus as one who has in his right hand the seven stars. The seven stars represents the seven angels. And you know, angels in the scripture is the same as messengers. Now, whether these messengers are angelic messengers or human messengers is a matter of interpretation. I don't think we want to go into it. But anyway, you'll find the seven stars are the seven messengers. In other sense, in any assembly, in any church, there will be those who seem to have responsibility before God for the church. It is true, every member in the church is responsible. But in a sense, there will be the messenger, as it is called, like the stars. Candlesticks, lampstands, are to be standing on earth. Stars are high up. Stars are for the night. Lampstands are also for the night. But one is above and one is below. I wonder if it means this. There needs some who lives in the heavenly places with Christ. And only when you dwell in the heavenly places with Christ, you are like stars. You draw the heavenly power and light and supply it to the golden lampstand. It's almost like what Zechariah saw in chapter 4, the two olive trees. I don't know, I'm just mentioning it. But anyway, you'll find the Lord said, I have in my right hand the seven stars. The right hand is the hand of power. In other words, there is no reason why the stars should not shine. And he is walking among the seven golden lampstands. In other words, he is there. He is walking. When the Lord passed by, John said, Behold the Lamb of God. And two disciples left John. Is it not that we should follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes? The Lord revealed himself to Ephesus. And Ephesus is to be responsible for that. You know, brothers and sisters, in the church in Ephesus, they have many good points. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy endurance, and thou canst not bear evil. Thou hast tried them who say themselves apostles not, and hast found them liars, and endureth, and is borne for my name's sake, and hast not wearied. Brothers and sisters, very few churches can compare with Ephesus up to this point. The Lord said, I know your works. You have lots of works. And your labor, your endurance, you cannot bear the evil. You have tried them. Probably these are referred to. Endurance among the brethren. And so forth. How we need to bear and forbear one another. Ah. how we need to endure each other. And here you find the church in Ephesus, they are able to endure. Not endure the world, the persecution of the world, but endure the brethren. You know, it is harder to endure the brethren than to endure the world. We have no patience with our brothers and sisters. We can be very patient with the people of this world. They have works. They have labor. They have endurance. They have discernment, knowledge. And then towards the world, they endure too. And they have borne for the name of the Lord Jesus and have not wearied. Now sometimes we endure for a while and then we got wearied. But they have not wearied. They have all these good things there. Brothers and sisters, if you want to look for good things, there are plenty in the church in Ephesus. Plenty. But the Lord was not looking for these things. These things, as it were just coming along. If they are there, thank God. If they are not there, you don't miss. And they will be there. But what the Lord was looking is one thing in the church in Ephesus. And he used very strong words. In spite of all these things that you have, I am against you. I am against you. I cannot stand you. Why? Because you have left your first love. Brothers and sisters, first love is the testimony of Jesus. They have lost sight of the Lord. One brother said, probably they are so busy with works that they lost sight of the Lord and their love. We don't know. But you know, we can be occupied with many good things. Oh, we can be occupied with works, with virtues, with knowledge, with all kinds of good things, and right things too. But if we have lost sight of the Lord, we will lose the first love. And that is what the Lord is looking for. Everything may go on as usual, but if the first love is missing, the Lord said, I am against you. Either repent, or I will remove the lampstand out. What does it mean? Does it necessarily mean, as some people think, that God will remove the church out of the city? There will be no more church there. No. He will remove the lampstand out of its place. What is its place before the Lord? It may continue as an institution, but it has been removed as a testimony. The Lord is looking for himself there. The Lord is looking for love. God is love. If you see him, you love him. You cannot but love him. The reason why you don't love him is because you haven't seen him. Oh, brothers and sisters, the Lord is looking for himself among us. Can he find first love there? Can he? If there is first love, there is the testimony of Jesus. If there is no first love, all these works, knowledge, and so forth, combined, do not make up the testimony of Jesus. There's no light. To the church in Smyrna, write. These things says the first and the last, who became dead and lived. Now this is the testimony of Jesus. He is the first and the last. He is the number one. He is all. And he became dead and lived. The church in Smyrna suffer. They have three problems: tribulation, poverty, and slander. Tribulation throw the opposition from the world. Poverty. Probably their property were being robbed. Poverty. And slander. They suffer a great deal. Why did they suffer? Because they saw the Lord as the first and the last. That's the reason why. If you see the Lord is all, brothers and sisters, you will suffer. The world is not that kind. The world has not changed. The reason why some people think the world has become more religious and Christianized, therefore, there will be no more tribulation and poverty and slander. It is not the world that has changed. You have changed. You have no longer seen the Lord as the first and the last. Or if you make the Lord your everything, you know what will happen. But thank God. He became dead and lived. You will live. There will be the crown of life. He is looking for himself in the church. So the church in Pergamos, right? These things says he that has a sharp two-edged sword. The church in Pergamos has become very worldly. The word Pergamos, some people say, means high tower. It begins to have an influence and position in the world. A power to be reckoned with. But here the Lord says, he is one who has the two-edged sword. And this two-edged sword is not to cut the world, is to cut the believers from the world. Is there a separation? Is there a separation? Brothers and sisters, we often think of separation in terms of rules and regulations. After one believes, becomes a Christian, we will give him certain rules. And say, now, you need to be separated from the world. Now, what do you mean by separated from the world? Oh, you dress in a certain way, you do certain things and don't do certain things. Now, that's separation. Well, I do not say that. These things won't happen. I think they will happen. But what is separation? What separates you from the world? What is the wall that divides you, separates you from the world? What is the wall? The wall is Christ. The more you know Him, the more you're separated from the world unto Him. And the more you love Him, the higher the wall. That's separation. Separation is not a mechanical thing, a technical thing. Separation is not an outward thing. It will be manifested outwardly, yes. But it begins within. It is Christ. He is the one who has the two-edged sword. He divides. He divides the soul and the spirit. That which is not of God and that which is of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, He is looking for Himself in the church in Pergamos. To the church in Thyatira. These things says He, the Son of God, He that has His eyes as a flame of fire and His feet are like fine brass. His eyes as flame of fire. Discernment. See through everything. And His feet like fine brass. What He has seen is judged, so that you may walk in the way of righteousness. And brothers and sisters, here you find the church in Thyatira. What a mix. They have more works than ever before. They offer sacrifice untiringly. Some say that is the meaning of Thyatira. But no matter how they offer sacrifice, and untiringly, it's a mixture. So mixed that you cannot see the truth from falsehood. But there is the eye as a flame of fire. Brothers and sisters, do we see as He sees? And if we see as He sees, do we judge as He judges? Do we walk as He walks? He is trying to find His eyes and His feet in the church in Thyatira. He's looking for Himself. The church in Sardis, these things said He that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. The spirit of life. He has the seven spirits of God. The fullness of the spirit of life. And yet Sardis has only a name. And is dead. And is dying. There is no life. And what little life is there is dwindling. Brothers and sisters, what the Lord is looking for? His life. Himself. His life in operation. There is a livingness there. He is the living one. I don't know. I know my English language is very limited. I may be using the wrong word. I wonder if there is a difference between livingness and liveliness. Is there a difference between these two words? What the Lord is looking is livingness, not liveliness. They look alike, you know. Livingness and liveliness, they look alike. But one is activity. One is life. And here you'll find the Lord is looking for Himself. and to the church in Philadelphia. These things says the holy, the true, he that has the key of David, he who opens and no one shall shut, and shuts and no one shall open. In the church in Philadelphia, there is brotherly love. Oh, see how they love one another. They have kept the word of patience. They have not denied his name. They have a little power. Not much power, little power. But this little power is of God. They, because of their faithfulness to the Lord, they know the authority of Christ. The authority of Christ. And that is what the Lord is looking for. His authority. The key of David. To open the door of the kingdom. It is not something earthly. It is something heavenly. And then in Laodicea, you find the Lord said, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. They need a new beginning. Everything has become old. They have inherited a lot, but there is no spiritual reality in it. No amen in it. No reality in it. And the Lord is looking for his riches. The riches of Christ himself. So, brothers and sisters, we may say this. What the Lord is searching for among God's people is very simple. He is looking for his testimony. And that is the one thing that matters. And he measures a church with that measurement. If it does not measure up, if it is distorted, if it is covered, if it is lost, oh, the call is to repent, to repent. Never, never be deceived into thinking that the other things may suffer. Our human mentality is a mentality of making substitutes. We think it is just as good as the original one. But the Lord said, no, I want the original. No substitute. So it really brings us to a very narrow way. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is looking today. He is still walking among the lampstands. And remember one thing, he is looking for himself in the church. He is looking for what he has already revealed of himself. Because what he has revealed of himself is the testimony of Jesus that has been entrusted to you. This is the only standard. So may the Lord exercise our hearts. Oh, knowing the high privilege of being the depository, the vessel of the testimony of Jesus. What a precious testimony. May we be faithful to him. May we be before the Lord for a while. And feel free to pray as the Lord leads.